Moncrief on News Talk.
Time from four stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan DeBerke Butler joins us once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, the US we're going to go to first. And charges have been dismissed against an official at a school where a six-year-old shot a teacher.
Yeah, I suppose we should go back to that first, really, and say what happened. So this happened in a funny named town called Newport News. I had to look it up to make sure that
actually
it was actually
called after it,
actually
yes.
called Newport News. I started going down the rabbit hole of looking into where the name came from, but that might be a different item altogether. So Newport News, this is in Virginia. It's big enough, actually. Population about 200,000 people in it, right? But anyway, in this particular school, a junior school, if that's what they call them in the States, it was in January of 2023, a six-year-old child, I'll say that again, a six-year-old child brought in a gun and shot his teacher, okay, a woman by the name of Abigail Zwerner, okay? Hmm. Now, on the day, now she survived, by the way, it went through her hand okay. and into her chest, but she had to get several operations, so she's okay now. On the day of the actual shooting, the assistant principal, or the now former assistant principal, a woman by the name of Ebony Parker, had been warned that the six-year-old was possibly carrying a gun, or had at least brought a gun into school. Okay? She had been told by teachers, and she had been told that the child was, on that particular day, very angry, had threatened a child, and had had various behavioural problems in the build-up to this. Now, I'll skip ahead to tell you that he came from a bit of a broken home, if that, if that's okay to say.
Yeah.
So anyway, it went ahead. The shooting happened. Thankfully, she didn't die, but a court case was brought up. So there was actually two court cases. So the civil trial ended last year, and this teacher was awarded $10 million, which is being appealed. So the jury in that case found in her favour. But this criminal case was very strange, right? The prosecution had delivered their case last Wednesday, I think it was. And when the defence came to start their case on the Thursday, they turned around to the judge and they said, listen, we don't think the prosecution has a case here. Any chance that this can be dismissed? And the judge turned around and effectively said, yeah, it can actually, you're right. And that's exactly what she did. So the woman in this case, Ebony Parker, the former assistant principal, she had been charged with 8 counts felony child abuse and a disregard for life. But the judge basically said that there was nothing to see here, that she didn't know what the prosecution's case was about and what they were trying to tie these charges
was it, she
to,
was warned about the six-year-old had a gun and she didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. But she said that the those facts of the case didn't match the charges as far as she was concerned. And so for that reason, she kicked it out. Now, bear in mind, this was after the prosecution had delivered 3 or 4 cases, had seen, spoken to 16 witnesses and had done 3 or 4 days of the trial in front of a jury of, I assume, 12 people. Then the defence comes along and all of a sudden they plead that, you know, it should, the charges should be dismissed. And that's exactly what she did. And not only did she drop them, but she dropped them with what's called prejudice, which means that it can't be brought to trial again, apparently.
Okay. How did a six-year-old get their hands on a gun?
It's a good question. So, as I mentioned, the family wasn't in great shape, right? So the mum was a drug user, right? So after the incident, the police actually went to the house and they found some cannabis there. That's fair enough. It's actually legal in Virginia, but she was charged and sent to prison for 2 years for neglecting the child. The gun was in her handbag. And the child basically climbed up onto a locker or whatever and took it out of the bag and brought it into school. Simple as that.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. Right. I suppose kind of the next story is a similar theme. This is between Portugal and France. Mother and the stepdad arrested for abandoning their children, allegedly.
Yeah, this is appears to be what's happened. So this is Marine Rousseau, who describes herself apparently as a sexologist. She's 41-year-old mother of these two children, and her stepdad, and the stepdad, Mark Balabriga, 55. Now, does the stepdad infer that they're newly married? Not necessarily,
I don't know. But he's not their biological father.
Yeah, he's not their biological father, which is the big thing. And indeed, the biological father had quite a big part to play in this, because when this new couple, shall we call them, took the two boys away, Barthélemy, who's aged 5, and Zachary, aged 3, They were taken from the biological father's home in a place called Colmar, which is on the border with Germany in France, okay? And they went on this road trip, okay? They ended up driving through Spain and Portugal. Now, on the day that they were taken, so on the Monday of last week, I think it was, the father got in touch with the authorities and said, look, my two children have gone missing. It's worth noting that they also had a 16-year-old together, but he didn't go on the trip for whatever reason, okay?
Okay.
So they drove through Spain, down into Portugal, and at some point, this couple decided to take their children into the woods, put a blindfold on the two of them, and send them into the woods and tell them that they were playing a game called Drive Away the Devil. And they could only remove the blindfolds after finding knives that had supposedly been buried in the dirt by these two, by this couple earlier that day, right? Mm. This was the spoof that they gave to them.
Yeah.
They sent them in there with two bottles of water, two pieces of fruit, bit of a change of clothes, and two rucksacks. Now, thankfully, the children copped on that something was going wrong here, because this could have been really tragic. They could have ended up in the woods, staying there, waiting for this couple to come back. But thankfully, they didn't. They went out, found their way out of the woods, and were discovered on a country road in Portugal by a local baker, right? You can imagine the scene at 7 p.m. that day, right? So they're safe and well, so that's fine. The couple that had abandoned them were found on the Thursday. So this was the kids were found on the Tuesday. The couple that abandoned them were found on the Thursday. They had spent 5 hours drinking coffee and croissants, apparently, in a coffee shop called O Vasco, okay, near Fatima. And they had got talking to some pensioner, an 80-year-old man who happened to spend a lot of his life in France, spoke French. He found them a bit strange, and he got suspicious that these were the people that the authorities were looking for.
Mm.
So he was the one who alerted them. And sure enough, the police came along, identified these two people and arrested them straight away.
Yeah, when the kids were found, though, did the kids have identification on
them?
They
had no identification on them, and as you can imagine, because they're in France, I doubt they spoke Portuguese.
Yes.
So you can imagine, and I've seen pictures, not of the children, but of the back of them, and I mean, just the size of them, it's heartbreaking, like, to think that the two of them were abandoned like this.
Yeah. It's a very strange story.
Very odd story.
And there's no possible explanation as to what's going
on,
why they did this.
No, not yet. And in fact, from witnesses, you know, who spoke to the media afterwards, they sort of said that they were very cool and calm and sort of collected. And they're sort of being a little bit uncooperative at the moment. So no reasons as of yet have been given. Now, they have been charged in Portugal, but it looks like they will be extradited or be sent up to France to face charges there.
Yeah. Right, Kyrgyzstan, we're going to go to next. 50 companies suspected of getting around the Russian sanctions.
Yeah, so this is Kyrgyzstan itself doesn't have sanctions against Russia, right?
Okay.
But the European Union does, obviously. And so what this is about is basically 50 companies have been shut down in Kyrgyzstan, kind of as a favour to the European Union and to make Kyrgyzstan look good. So what the authorities in Kyrgyzstan are saying is, listen, you guys, we're getting stuff in here from the European Union. You're taking it in and then you're passing it off into Russia when you're not supposed to be doing that.
Mm.
You're making us look bad.
Yeah.
And it's difficult enough for us where we are, you know, with the European Union to the west and then Russia to the north. You know, you need to help us out here. So they're making an example of these 50 companies. They haven't named them, right? But this all came about off the back of the 20th sanctions package that was released there, I think last week or maybe 10 days ago by the European Union. And in that, the European Union designate Kyrgyzstan as a country of concern for circumvention around these things. And there's some great statistics in here. I'll just give you one if I can. So the EU data cited in the decision pointed to what they called sharp trade anomalies, including an increase of over 800% in Kyrgyz imports of specialised electronics from the EU between 2022 and 2025. And they didn't notice a corresponding uptick in what we'll call production within Kyrgyzstan in this particular field. So they basically said to them, look, you can't be doing this. We signed a trade deal, that is Kyrgyzstan and the European Union, in 2024, which allows you to export over 6,000 products from your country into the European Union, it's a good deal for you. So, you know, you need to at least show that you're kind of behaving here.
And these 50 companies, the sanction is to close them down altogether?
Well, I think at the moment what they'll be doing, they're in the quote from the Justice Ministry, they said they have conducted an investigation and suspended the registration of 50 companies, which means they can't have bank accounts and they can't do any dealings. Automatically it shuts them down like that. So they've had problems before, at least companies in Kyrgyzstan that operate internationally have had problems before with the European Union, the UK and the USA have stopped them from operating. So these 50, I suppose from Kyrgyzstan's point of view, they're looking at it and they're kind of going, it's good for us to get ahead of this.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? And to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for them because, as I said, they get a lot of inward investment from Russia as well, but they need the European Union.
Yeah. You can't help but wonder, though, were these legitimate companies in the sense that they were making lots of stuff and some of it just happened to be going to Russia, or were they set up specifically to import stuff from the EU and then send it to Russia?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure whatever way they do it, I'm sure there was a good cover there.
Yeah. Right, Uganda we're going to go to next. And, you know, I suppose people have heard sporadic reports about the Ebola crisis in parts of Africa, and Uganda, they're very, very nervous about it.
They are. It's bled over into Uganda from the DRC. So in the DRC, the centre of it is up in a province called Ituri, which is up in the northeast of the country, right? And it's a bit of a basket case in that part of the world. Anyway, there's been a lots of violence going on there since the 1970s. And I think about 100,000 people have been displaced. That's even before the Ebola problem started. So in the DRC, you're looking at about 250 deaths already. Over 1,000 people at this stage have the actual virus. The various health organisations have admitted that they didn't get ahead of it and they didn't detect it in time. So they're very worried. And now there's spillover into Uganda. Now, there's so far only two cases as far as I know. But I think the location is quite significant because those two cases are in Kampala. That's a big city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a big city. So that's a problem. So they're trying to get ahead of it by doing simple things. They're banning handshakes and hugs. And they're asking people not to make physical contact with each other where it can be avoided. So that's what they're doing. They've also postponed a big celebration there called Martyrs Day, which takes place on June the 3rd. Normally, they'd get a lot of people coming in from the DRC for that, but they've stopped that now because obviously they don't want that happening. So,
yeah,
it's a worrying situation.
Yeah, Kampala would be a fairly crowded city as well. What's at their disposal of trying to limit its spread?
Well, that's the question. Yeah, yeah. And it's particularly with all the stuff that was done by Trump in terms of US aid and everything, they're really struggling. They're already struggling. So with that, this on top of it, it's going to be more difficult.
Right, South Korea we're going to go to finally. One of those, you know, the damage that AI can wreak, it destroyed an actress' career.
Yeah, it's so this is involving three Kims, unfortunately. So I might just say the names once and then we'll refer to them by their professions afterwards.
Yeah.
So the South Korean police are looking for an arrest warrant for a YouTuber called Kim Se-woo. Now, this Kim Se-woo is accused of faking evidence that defamed an actor called Kim So-hyun. Okay, so this actor, well-known, 38-year-old, and he was in a relationship with a younger woman called Kim Se-ron. Okay, and this actress unfortunately died by suicide at the age of 24 in 2025. And shortly after that, the well-known actor was accused by the YouTuber of starting that relationship when she was just 15 years of age. Now, he has always denied this and steadfastly denied it ever since these rumours went around. But you know what happens when rumours go swirling around the place, particularly if you're in the public domain. And there's another layer to that, which is in South Korea, you know, public figures are under intense pressure from the public, to be honest. So he's been sent to Coventry, essentially, within his profession, and it's destroyed him. But now the police have come out and they have said that the proof, inverted commas, that this YouTuber came up with is completely bogus. They say that he manipulated text screenshots to make them look as if there was, you know, correspondence between the two people who were in a relationship, just not when she was 15 years of age. And also that he came up with AI-generated audio to falsely claim or make it look like they were in a relationship at this time, or other claims were made. So quite extraordinary stuff. So as I said, the police have an arrest warrant out for him, or they're seeking that. And this YouTuber could be in quite a bit of trouble.
Yeah, but they don't know where he is, this YouTuber.
I don't know at this stage. I don't know if he, I don't think he's gone on the run or anything like that, or where he's, you know, where he's... I understand your question. Is it related to where is he based? Or
kind of thing? They've issued an arrest warrant, they don't have his address.
Well, they're still seeking the arrest warrant, as far as I know. I don't know if it's been issued yet.
Yeah.
Now, it should be said that it wasn't just the YouTuber that started throwing these rumours about. It was also the family of the deceased actress. That didn't help things. So the actor has now taken a case against the family and the YouTuber. He actually did that last year, I think. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
Yeah.
But yeah, under terrible strain, these celebrities in South Korea.
And the actor, like... He, as you say, was very successful. Like he had work cancelled on him.
There was a series with Disney Plus apparently called Knockoff, which I've never heard of. I'm not a big follower of South Korean television, but that has been indefinitely postponed. So look, it might be one of those things where when all of this blows over, he'll get his career back and he'll come back twice as popular.
Or Netflix will make a documentary about it, one way or the other. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, obviously a big sporting event on Saturday is the football, the Champions League final. It's an early kickoff, so it's 5 p.m. Normally it would be a bit later, so just to let people know, very important public service I'm doing there. Saturday on the same day, Malta is holding snap parliamentary elections, and then presidential elections in Colombia, in fact, on Sunday. May 31st. That'll be interesting. I might have a look at that next week.
Indeed. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Cheers,
as
Sean.
Ever, Jonathan DeBurker Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.